Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. That's Tim Dennis. We've got another great show lined up today, Tim.
I see that.
We, whenever we post shows about cryptids, which is has been surprising to me over the years, when we delve into the world of cryptids, it seems to explode. Many more listeners download the show. We get a lot more email interactions, and that I guess that was surprising to me, because for the longest time, we always assumed it would be the ghost stories and the darker, creepier paranormal stories. Mm-hmm. And for the beginning of the show, 14 years ago, that was the trend. If we did Bigfoot or cryptid stories or too many alien abductions, we'd get crabby emails about it. Now it's I feel like we're letting people down when we don't talk more about cryptids.
Right. Yeah.
So I reached out to a buddy of ours, brand new book, March 29th, 2020, just came out, Winged Cryptids, Humanoids, Monsters, an Anomalous Creatures Casebook. Lon Strickler is back with us. Lon, it's great to have you back, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Always great to catch up with you. What do you think is behind this groundswell of popularity kind of across the board with cryptid investigations and cryptid fascination, I guess?
Well, I've noticed the same thing. I mean, it has really become more popular as the years have gone by. Why that happened, I don't know. I guess it's because of the internet more than anything else. And of course, there's more TV shows involving cryptids. So yeah, I believe that's probably the reason why.
I wonder, partly, if the popularity and the increase in people straying to this side of the anomalous is the fact that with ghosts and demon encounters, alien abductions, those can all be kind of terrifying and out of your control, right? Cryptids, you kind of have to go put yourself in their environment. You have to go out and look for them. Most of the cases are pretty benign. It's a fleeting glimpse of something flying overhead or walking across the road in front of you or darting around in the woods. So there's kind of a safety valve built in, it feels like, with cryptids, whereas anybody's vulnerable to a ghost or demonic attachment, possible alien abductions or visitations, and they can get into the sanctity of home. But cryptids, they have their place in the out of doors where it's far away from many of us on a regular basis. Do you think that buffering of safe zone might be part of it?
Yeah, maybe. I think that there are just more people that find it more interesting. It's something they can do tangibly, maybe see this thing, or see something. Plus, there does seem to be a greater influx of different types of cryptids over the years. And, of course, for me, with the wing cryptids, that seems to be something that has just, just expanded over the years.
I was going to tell you guys a funny story. I went to Trinity Lutheran grade school growing up. And I think it was around sixth or seventh grade, we did a thing called wall camp. And it was our entire class went to this campgrounds, I believe in Wisconsin. And we were basically at this Christian camp for a week. And there were other Christian schools that would attend. Well, while we were out there, they would tell this story of this large bipedal hominid creature. And, you know, they weren't really calling it Bigfoot, but they said it was almost like this escaped ape. And, you know, we're all like, yeah, yeah, whatever, you know, campfire stories. And, you know, one day when we were all going out canoeing, across the way through the woods comes this, and I don't think I've even ever told you this, Tim, comes this huge, hairy, ape-like creature. And it comes out of the woods, and we all lost our minds. And, like, kids are dropping canoes and running, for, you know, and this thing is far away from us. It's on the other side of the lake across from us. And it sent everybody scattering. We would hear things at night, this in the woods around us, and everybody would panic and freak out. The teachers were really good about keeping everybody kind of calm and relaxed during this entire deal. And different camp groups would encounter this being as the week progressed. And then I remember it was one of our final nights that we were there, and we were having this big jamboree where we all had to learn songs and little skits that we were going to put on for each other's camp groups. And as we're all gathered in the lodge house and we're starting to do this, all of a sudden the side of this lodge house is just boom, boom, boom. Everybody stops and looks around, and we're like, what the hell was that? Right. You've got this, how old are you? 10, 11 years old and 12 years old in that grade. We're all kind of looking around at each other, but this thing was shaking the lodge house. It was so loud. And then there's a scream, and we turn around, and outside the window is this huge, hairy creature. And then its head ducks down, and everybody starts flipping out. And the teachers are like, all right, everybody, calm down, just relax, calm down. The door bursts open, and this thing comes tearing into the room with us. It was I froze. I literally froze in place. I stood there. My eyes got as big as saucers. Kids are in panic, scrambling, screaming, running, tripping over chairs. And I, as I'm standing there, I started to realize none of the teachers are reacting. And what had happened was, I believe it was our teacher, Mr. Homp, who was a gymnast and our PE teacher. He had dressed up in a gorilla costume, this ape costume, scared the living hell out of everybody at this thing. Everybody freaked out and scrambled. It was so weird to see the reactions. But, you know, there was, through that entire week, there was this underlying sense of tension of this creep. And this was the 70s, very early 80s, right? So we were hot on the heels, 10 years removed from the Patterson-Gimlin film being played and then showing on every show from 67 to 77 that talked about the strange, right? From sightings to In Search Of and all of these other, you know, Real People, That's Incredible. They would all show this footage. So every one of us had seen this. And then to see this reaction, people absolutely went bonkers. Thankfully, like I said, it was just one of our idiot teachers having a lark, and everybody had a great time and a good laugh afterwards. But that has been one of my favorite goofy memories from childhood. Are there many encounters where large groups have literally, not just a one or two off hunters, but large groups of people have encountered something anomalous and strange, like a Bigfoot or a Mothman creature, or something that, you know, many people witness all at one point in time?
Well, with these winged humanoid sightings that have been going on in Chicago, there were a few instances of groups seeing this thing. In particular, there was one sighting by the Adler Planetarium by the lakefront. And I estimate there were probably about 30 people saw it at one time.
Wow, really?
30
people at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah, this thing has shown up in groups occasionally.
Now, wait a minute. You sound a little less impressed than Tim and I feel about that statement. So around 30 people saw this, Lon. What do you make of a claim that large?
Well, I don't know. You know, at first I was kind of skeptical about it, but then a couple of days after the initial report came in, I got another report from someone else that had most likely been in that group because the time was the same and everything else. So, yeah, these things, you know, these cryptids will show up in groups.
Now, these winged creatures that are being sighted, you know, we think back to the John Keel stories of the Mothman prophecies and the fact that this Mothman-like creature was seen just prior to the bridge collapse that occurred. Have there been any sightings, or should I say this? I know it's been spread out over the last 3 years of these bat-like large winged creature sightings in the Chicagoland area, and crime has been through the roof, shootings, violence, all kinds of bizarre things taking place because I have friends and family in the Chicagoland area telling me how bad it's gotten. Now, I'm wondering if there was also a spike before this COVID crisis. Have you seen anything like that?
Well, you know, we recently, in the past 6 months, I've been getting a lot of sightings in and around O'Hare International. We had 5 sightings reported in Rosemont, which is the neighborhood just northeast of the airport.
Right.
And we've had at least 4 sightings on the airport property. 2 of those were actually reported by security people. So this is something that that's kind of had us a little, flummoxed a bit about what's, you know, all these sightings going on around the airport and what this means. We just really haven't been able to pinpoint it. So there have been some other strange anomalous activity as well involving humanoids. So, I don't know if it's tied in or not.
Well, talk to me about the sightings that the security guards, and you've got to take it quite seriously when security guards at an airport, especially now post 9/11, are seeing something anomalous happen. What were those reports like?
Well, the first one was an actual TSA security guy, and he basically drove around through the cargo areas and, you know, just kept an eye on for intruders and such. Well, what happened was he and his partner were in their vehicle and they saw what looked like a human or a person down in one of the drainage, I don't know if you call it a stream or creek, whatever it is, on the property. So he got out of the truck and walked towards this drainage area, and as he looked at this thing standing there, he thought maybe at first it was a trucker relieving himself, basically. And when he got closer to this thing, it actually turned around, and the red eyes just hit him right in the face. I mean, it, you know, that's the first thing you notice. This thing was like 6 foot in height, had wings. And bat-like wings, dark colored, just like all the other sightings for the most part. And then it kind of moved off and took off into the air. And he sat on it for about a week because he didn't want his name or anything getting out because of his job and such. So we kept all that confidential, but the fact that he did come forward and tell us this was really interesting. And, you know, we also had another security guard more recently in another part of the cargo area. And there's several cargo areas. And the way he described it was there has been, since these reports have been, you know, coming out, since we've been reporting them, there have been a lot of people actually sneaking onto the property to see if they can get a sight of this thing. And they have been having a lot of trespasser troubles in recent weeks. So what happened was It was at nighttime. They were out patrolling the fences, and they saw this thing standing by one of the fences. So, of course, the first thing he thinks is, oh, it's another trespasser. We got to go down there and escort him off the property. Well, when they got, you know, when he got closer to it, he noticed this thing had wings and red eyes. And this thing took off as well. And, you know, of course, now this wasn't a TSA security guard. This was a security guard from one of the cargo companies. But this has been going on. And one of our investigators, Manuel Navarrete, he works for a trucking company. So he has the credentials to get on the O'Hara property. Well, one morning he was driving around there, and he saw something as well. Now, this thing was flying. He saw it land on top of a roof. The size of it was somewhat smaller than what people had been reporting, but basically it was very similar to what people had been reporting. So, you know, that one of our own investigators had an encounter with this thing. So why this is going on, I don't know. I mean, we've had some possibly associated occurrences.
Well, let me ask you one thing, though. When you're talking about these locations that are so heavily guarded, is there security footage? Have they referred to the security footage at all? Anything wrong with the security footage? Or do they just not have access to it?
Well, I don't think I'm sure they don't have access to it. The O'Hara management has really been cracking down or trying to crack down on these sighting reports getting out. And, you know, I haven't made an attempt to get any type of security footage, though I could try, but I'm quite sure we'd never get it. This has been a problem throughout the whole investigation in the city and in other areas. Either the security company or the city itself has not been cooperative. So as far as working with TSA or with the airport management, I think that's just going to be lost cause. But, you know, we could try that.
Why are the security? Why, you know, why isn't security reporting this to their superiors?
They have been.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And what have the superiors been doing? Just shutting it down?
Yeah. I've heard anywhere from people from this management telling them that they must have saw a big owl, or you know, they must have mistaken it for another individual that was on the property. Yeah, they've been trying to shut this down. They really have, and it's you know, they have been. But I you know, the fact that people are sneaking on to the airport property along the fence lines, along the tarmacs and stuff, it's caused a problem. But the employees have been warned.
That's pretty terrifying that there's been some security breaches just of people. Especially again post 9/11, to know that that's taking place, but then to think that there may be something cryptid at work as well.
Yeah, it's it is interesting. I mean, I had heard about it from another individual who doesn't work there, but had talked to someone else that the management has been very concerned about people trying to get onto the property. And then, of course, when they started getting reports from employees and others about these winged beings, they've been trying to shut it down. They've tried to keep it quiet.
With the visitations of these beings being seen so often and over such a wide spate of area in that, you know, in the last few years, has there been another location anywhere in the world that has reported something this frequently taking place as well?
You know, if there has been, we haven't heard about it. There is one other area in Florida where we received several reports in Pasco County, in particular around the Zephyr Hills area. We've had three reports in one general area, and there's another one we've been following up on that we just haven't gotten all the information. So, you know, the reports and the descriptions are very similar to what people are seeing in Chicago. So that, you know, that has been going on. But as far as other locations worldwide, United States, North America, no, it just really hasn't been. You know, there's been traditional areas where these sightings have taken place. In particular, Southern Ontario has had a fair amount of sightings around Lake Ontario down into the Niagara area into New York State. We've received some reports of these large winged beings. Many have described them as just huge angels. There was one particular story of the what we call the Ottawa Angel, this 10 to 15 foot humanoid with wings that was seen. And the individual that did see that, I talked to him. And I got another report from another individual who thought they had seen something very similar. But, you know, overall, there have been winged being sightings in, you know, in Southern Ontario.
Podcast One presents. This is a collect call from Sing Sing.
My name is John J. Lennon. I'm locked up for selling drugs and committing murder. I'm also a contributor for Esquire magazine and the Marshall Project. So I'm a writer and I'm a prisoner. Imagine trying to stay focused and talk about issues of substance with geeks slamming, prisoners screaming, and PAs blaring in the background.
Get new episodes every Wednesday on Spotify, Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts.
The name of the book is Winged Cryptids, Humanoids, Monsters, and Anomalous Creatures Casebook. We have a link up for that book and a link to Lon Strickler's website right here on our page. So if you have a desire to get the book or educate yourself more on Lon's work, you can certainly do that easy enough. Are the winged cryptids, I mean, obviously, Bigfoot, Dogman sightings, lake monsters have always seemed to be kind of the rage. You've got the Mothman and the Jersey Devil that seem to have been more in the winged creature category, but those seem few and far between. Is there a definite rise in the winged creature category, or has it always been there, just more people are reporting them at this point?
I think it's the case of more people actually reporting it. You know, I have no idea how many sightings have been going on in the Chicagoland area over the past 3 or 4 years, but I am quite confident it's many more than we received. So, but, you know, the fact that, you know, now, you know, inside Chicago, the Chicago city limits, there have been a fair amount of sightings. But we, you know, these sightings have extended as far north as Milwaukee, Wisconsin, down into Illinois, and down into northern Indiana. So, you know, it's kind of a wide area. My colleague Tobias calls it the Lake Michigan Mothman. He had written a book recently about it. So, you know, yeah, this is, it's a wide region to where these sightings are taking place, but the reports themselves have been very, very believable. And, you know, and another thing that has really, made us believe that something is definitely going on is that these witnesses just do not embellish on their sightings. They'll give an initial report, we'll call them, talk to them, and they just will not veer away from what they originally reported. So that's impressive, because that rarely happens with cryptid sightings.
What do you mean? For the layperson who doesn't get to hear these type of reports, can you be a little bit more specific on what you're referring to?
Well, basically, if someone will send an email or give me a call, they'll say, I saw this, you know, I saw this thing, had bat-like wings, the width 10 to 15 foot, dark in color. Many times I will try to get them to add on to the story, just trying to nudge them on. And that just has not happened. I mean, they stick to what they tell us.
Seeing any kind of they're not seeking attention in the way of, oh yeah, and then it reached and screamed out as it grabbed a puppy and then darted back into the, you're not
exactly
getting any acknowledgement. It's just very, just the facts, ma'am, is what you're getting.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's been impressive.
With that said, though, some people, it's got to be hard in your position to take these reports, because some people are going to be so excited by what they've seen, they're going to try to detail every moment. How do you discern between somebody who's excitedly telling you everything that happened as opposed to somebody who might be embellishing or blowing the story out of proportion?
You know, that is another aspect of all this that has kind of been surprising. That, you know, even though people seem to be upset or shocked by what they see, it just doesn't come through for the most part as part of the report. Now, of course, there have been a few, you know, where people just get so excited and, you know, but at least they came forward. That's the one thing I'm usually impressed by. They have taken the time to come forward and to report it. And a lot of times I will have someone else in my group contact them to verify the information. And we do have several investigators in the area, so they will go to the site if they can. So we try to follow up as best as possible, but, you know, very rarely do we get different stories among investigators, which is something that's, you know, that's very interesting.
What do you make of these encounters as well? Aside from visual aspects, have there been any reports of sounds that these creatures are making? Have they stolen a cat or a dog or a squirrel or anything? I mean, any kind of activity would show us something indicative of what an animal might do.
These beings will occasionally make a screeching sound. It's usually while they're flying, or after they just took off from the ground or wherever they were perched at. They will usually let out a long sustained screeching sound. And the only report that I ever received of one of these beings snatching an animal was one dropping out of a tree, grabbing a squirrel. And that was a sighting that was recently sent to me. It was an older sighting, but, this man and his son actually saw this thing drop out of a tree, a huge winged being, and grab a squirrel with its talons. But, you know, there haven't been any auxiliary reports of animal attacks, carcasses, or anything like that.
When you hear it's dropping a squirrel or doing something like this, then it suddenly becomes a little bit more benign, right? Then do you start looking at those being cases of perhaps an oversized owl or some other creature? And then let's examine that aspect of this. When it comes to known flying creatures, are there anything that could fit the category of some of these creature sightings?
Well, there have been people that have tried to compare it to a large migratory bird like a crane or possibly a heron or such. But, you know, the body shape size is not conducive to that. And, you know, the only birds that would grab an animal, or, you know, like that, just don't fit the size. I mean, this would have to be an extraordinarily big owl or eagle or hawk. That in itself would be cryptid, because, you know, there's no 6-foot owls out there that we know of. So, you know,
are these beings being cited in conjunction with other phenomena like craft, or other strange things taking place, perhaps anomalous lights that appear before or after these creatures are seen?
Well, let me tell you about two reports we received recently. The first one was a woman in Rosemont, which is just, you know, one of the suburbs around the airport.
Right there by the airport. Right.
Yeah, and the convention center is there. Anyway, she had been out at night in her neighborhood, and there's a park nearby. And she said when she can't sleep, she'll usually go to the park and sit there and just, you know, take in, you know, the outside and just, you know, try to get herself, you know, become more sleepy, maybe go back and go to bed. Well, she occasionally does this. Well, anyway, one night, and this was back in, late October, that she had been out at this park. And she noticed by one of the buildings nearby that had a light, you know, a light above it, was this huge winged being standing there with what looked like to be an alien gray. And as she watched these two beings, two females, humans, walked up to it just like it was nothing to it. And were seemed to be conversing with them. She watched this for a couple seconds, I guess, and then suddenly there was a bright blue flash of light, and these beings had disappeared other than the wing being, and then the wing being took off, spread its wings and took off.
Wow.
That, yeah, wow. And the weird thing about it, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was just saying, that's pretty powerful. I mean, that's quite an expanded view of the normal encounters.
Yeah, that really got, you know, I was really going into the rabbit hole with that one. She was very hesitant about talking about it. Now, she's a professional, I did some checking up on her, and her story verified, location and everything. But she had an encounter several days after that at her work, where a man walked up to her and asked her if she had reported what she'd seen. And she hadn't talked to anybody other than, you know, us. And of course, we didn't put it out. It wasn't even, you know, wasn't even reported or posted yet. And that really set her for a loop. I mean, she had, you know, just like the Men in Black encounter, you know, it told her that she shouldn't report this to anybody. Had no idea who this guy was. His description was very benign. Just a guy in a coat, you know, it was a tan coat, showed up at her work and then took off. And she was shook. I mean, she really was upset.
Does that make you worry that maybe you or your group are being watched a little bit more carefully by government agencies than you might have thought before?
Well, you think about it. I believe that, you know, we are being monitored to a degree most of the time anyway. You know, especially this situation and how it has gotten into the media and such. I think we're probably being monitored to a point. But, you know, we later had an incident on the airport grounds. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but at O'Hara, there's a small cemetery by one of the cargo areas called Rest Haven Cemetery. It's a real small cemetery. That's unusual. So one of the employees at this cargo company, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, he walked out in the back to have a smoke, and he saw this oval, very bright UFO stop. It suddenly flew towards the above the cemetery and just stopped and hovered there. And as he was watching this thing, a human or a humanoid-like being ascended into the craft. Well, of course, the first thing we asked him is, does this thing have wings? Did this being have any wings on it? He couldn't see. He couldn't determine if it had wings. But, you know, this thing ascended into this craft and then suddenly took off. Well, you know, we're first of all, you know, you're in this cemetery, very small cemetery in the middle of the night, and apparently it looks like either something or someone's being abducted by UFO. Now you got to start to wonder if there's some type of non-terrestrial involvement with these beings. You know, it's something that we've thought about, but, you know, some of the strange activity the past 6 months, including these two stories, has kind of, you know, kind of had us looking a little more deeper into this.
I got to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Where in the cryptid world, and I know that you've been doing this for a long time, where are we now with belief systems of what we're dealing with? Is it alien? Is it interdimensional? Is it just undiscovered zoological creatures? We'll talk more with our guest, Lon Strickler, when we return. Winged Cryptids, Humanoids, Monsters, and Anomalous Creatures. That's the book. Our guest, Lon Strickler, when we return to the best in paranormal talk radio, this is Darkness Radio.
On a scale of 1 to 10 this week, how was your pain level? How was your anxiety level? Did you get through the week okay? I know times are tough right now. We've all been going through, you know, that virus thing and the stress from that. And I know the weather's changing. Spring is here, and I gotta tell you, pain levels are off the charts, and it's not been fun. It's your buddy Tim for Feels. I tell you, I've been taking my Feels, my CBD, and it's been helping me. I've been getting through these tough times, both anxiety and stress-wise and pain-wise. It's been helping. You know, I've been getting more and more of you who have been reaching out to me and saying to me, hey, Tim, is that for real? Are you just saying that? Is this just words? No, it's not just words. It's just not something I say. I don't just get on here and flap my gums at you. Feels really does help me feel better. I'm not putting one over on you. Feels is amazing. I've been using Feels now for weeks, and it's been helping me with my pain. It's amazing. It's been helping me with my sleep. I'm telling you, before I got Feels, I was sleeping maybe an hour at a time. I'd get up in an immense pain in my neck and my back and my knees. And it was aching so much that, and I know you're feeling this as I'm telling you this, that I would get up and I'd sit on the side of my bed and I'd rock back and forth and I couldn't take it anymore. And then I found Feels. I take a full dropper of Feels, put it under my tongue for 30 seconds. And within just a few minutes, that pain subsides and I'm ready to go back to bed. I get that same thing during the day when I'm taping this show. Sometimes Dave and I will tape a couple of shows in a row, and I can really only tolerate sitting in a chair for about an hour, hour and a half. And there's days where I'm sitting here 8-9 hours, and man, you want to talk about pain, but you know what helps me with that pain? Feels. Feels helps me with that pain. And I get through it. Again, it's a dropper. I take a full dropper's full and put it under my tongue for 30 seconds, and I start to feel that pain wash away. Now, you may be saying to yourself, if this is the first time you've heard me talk about Feels, Tim, what is Feels? Well, Feels is premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep. It's naturally helping me reduce my stress, my anxiety, my pain, and sleeplessness. And Feels is premium CBD. You may be new to the realm of CBD, and that's okay. You know, you may have questions about CBD, and that's fine. The people at Feels are ready to be there for you to answer your question. How do you take CBD and Feels? Well, it's easy. It comes in a liquid form, and you place a few drops of Feels under your tongue, and you feel the difference within minutes. The thing to remember about CBD is that finding the right dose is important. I've had, and thank God, I've had a lot of you who have reached out to me in the last few weeks and asked, you know, how much do you take? I'm a little different. I'm used to taking it. I've taken a lot of different opioids and different pain medications over the years, and I've got a high tolerance, so I take a lot more. You may not need as much. You may only need a few drops. Everybody's dose is different. So leave room to experiment over the course of a week or so, and you may need to take more or less, just depending, to get the effects that you're looking for. But what's nice about Feels is if you're new to CBD, Feels will offer a free CBD hotline, and they do, to help you guide you through your personal experience if you have those questions. You can feel better naturally, folks, through Feels, and I feel better naturally through Feels, and I encourage you to contact Feels and try it. It works naturally to help you feel better. There's no high, no hangover, no addiction. It just helps you feel better naturally. You just feel that pain wash away and you just start to feel better. You owe it to yourself. And you know, you do sometimes get that anxiety from being in so much pain. You know what I'm talking about? You get that crippling anxiety that you're going to start to feel more pain once it starts to subside. You're getting ready for that next wave. Even people who just have anxiety, not even chronic pain, but just anxiety, CBD works for that as well. You're going to want to try Feels. You can join the Feels community to get Feels delivered to your door every month. You'll save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel at any time. Although I don't know why you'd want to. I say this every week. I don't know why you'd want to once you try Feels. Now, Feels has me feeling my best every day. It can help you too. I stress this to you every week. Become a member today by going to Feels, that's F-E-A-L-S, feels.com/darkness. You're going to get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feels.com, feals.com/darkness to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Do yourself a favor this week. I know you've heard my voice plenty in the last few weeks, and you've been thinking about it. You've been thinking real hard about it. You know, can I afford it? Can I do it? Can you afford not to do it? Can you afford to be in pain one more week? Can you afford to have that anxiety one more week? Can you afford another sleepless night this week? You know what? You're not alone. There's a lot of us out there who suffer with pain, suffer with anxiety. The weight of the world is on a lot of our shoulders right now, and you don't need the extra pain. You don't need the extra anxiety. You don't need the extra stress that comes with all of that. Feels can help you right now, naturally. Go ahead, give it a try. Feels, feals.com/darkness. Get 50% off your first order with free shipping. One more time, feals.com/darkness. Take advantage of it today.
So in examining the different forms of cryptids that exist, obviously for a long time, it was just supposed that these creatures were zoological creatures that had just gone undetected or were on the fringe aspects of science that hadn't been officially cataloged or documented. What is kind of the official take on your water creatures, your forest creatures, and these winged creatures at this point, Lon? If you were just kind of taking a close gauge, poll across cryptid and cryptozoological fans and researchers, where do you think most of this is falling?
Well, for a long time, it's always been the flesh and blood being either a relic animal or a relic creature. As time has gone on, though, you know, it's the evidence has been very scant as far as just say for Bigfoot, there have been no bodies. There have been no bodies of a winged being. So the supernatural aspect or interdimensional aspect is starting to enter into the conversation now. And, you know, I don't know what the percentages are, but there are more people that have been involved with this for a long time who are starting to look on the other side now. You know, I believe personally that most cryptids are some type of interdimensional or some type of traveler through a rift or through a portal or such to another reality. I truly do believe that just by some of the evidence that has been reported to me. You know, it's anecdotal evidence for the most part, but it does make you think that there is some supernatural aspects to them.
Hey, that's got to be tough for a researcher like yourself and for people that want to be taken seriously in this field, right? It's one thing to look at some of these strange claims and say that they're just relic creatures or unidentified zoological beings, but you start taking that stretch into this maybe being something interdimensional or extraterrestrial in nature, that starts kind of raising the eyebrows of the field and other people, and kind of then it brings speculation to the researcher themselves, even though it to you and I seems like the natural progression of how we should be examining this. To others, it starts appearing like, oh geez, Lon's lost his mind.
Yeah, they call it the woo factor for the most part. You know, I have heard that many, many times over the years. But, you know, I think more and more people are starting to think out of the box, you know, trying to explain why there has been just literally very little physical evidence available. Now, I do believe, like in Bigfoot for the most part, that it is flesh and blood being or indigenous being in certain areas, like the Pacific Northwest, down into southern Florida, areas around the Gulf Coast. I think there are actual populations of these beings and that they've been there a while. But I think for the most part, I think Bigfoot and these other winged beings and such are some type of supernatural creature that somehow has the ability to come into our earth plane and to go back and forth. And in fact, as far as the winged beings, I have had two very credible reports of these things being seen flying and suddenly disappearing. In fact, one of the sightings were two older ladies just south of Wrigley Field who saw this. And another was up in northern Illinois. So, yeah, some people have seen some very bizarre activity involving these winged beings, but to me, I'm just not surprised by it.
Now, there seems to be some cross-pollinization, especially in the Illinois, Wisconsin area, of these dogman creature sightings, Bigfoot sightings, and it seems that in some instances, people have reported that they do not seem to get along. Have we had any kind of multiple creature sightings with these winged beings being seen in and around the same area as Bigfoot or dogman sightings? And if so, what have those been like?
Well, the you know, the southern Wisconsin area has well known for these upright canines, particularly the Beast of Bray Road, those reports around Elkhorn, Wisconsin. There's another area, large area, the Kettle Moraine Park area, which has had a lot of strange, cryptid sightings over the years. But, you know, there have been several of these winged beings seen in those areas as well. As far as there being a relationship, I don't know. I mean, they very well could be. I mean, are they coming in and out from the same by the same means, or, you know, what's causing this? But no, I think, you know, there seem to be, from what I have run into over the years, there seem to be certain areas, in particular in North America, where there has been multiple cryptid activity. The upper Midwest is very active. Parts of Pennsylvania are very active. Texas, Florida, and the in the Pacific Northwest. So, I think some areas are very conducive to strange activity.
Are we noticing that they're also in and around areas that are related to, you know, obviously a lot with the airport area of Illinois, but that's also near military installations? Are we noticing any sightings worldwide or at least nationwide that these beings seem to be within spitting distance of military installations?
Bigfoot, there have been Bigfoot sightings associated with military installations over the years. There have been reports that have been snuck out by military personnel of encounters, in particular Fort Lewis McChord up in Washington, and another area which a lot of people really don't know about is up in Labrador or Newfoundland, especially around the Goose Bay area. There have been several reports of Bigfoot Sasquatch encounters with troops that are on training missions. So it does happen. It does happen.
What, as we keep examining the cases, what other winged creature sightings have been, you know, populating in the last 10 years? Obviously, we've been talking a lot about the ones around the Chicagoland area. How far spread are these sightings being taken place, and how radically different descriptions of these be?
Well, you know, in the book, I describe several investigations that, you know, I've been involved with. One in particular has been these manta ray shaped beings or cryptids or whatever they are. You know, they may even be some type of bio UFO, a bio craft. But they're a flying entity that ranges anywhere from 6 foot wide to just a few feet wide. They do look like a manta ray. The shape, the way that the wings of a manta ray will move, but it's not in water. They're actually flying through the air. Some have
that,
been.
That was my. I saw that. I saw that personally at the Yosemite Ranch in Trout Lake, Washington, and it sticks with me to this day. It is still one of the most unusual moments of my life to see that being.
Yeah, you'll have to write that down and give it to me sometime because I can keep it in a record. I've been collecting these manta ray cryptid sightings over the years. Now, most have been on the eastern part of the country. interestingly enough, in the Ohio River Valley, where there have been a lot of Mothman winged humanoid sightings as well. But these are pretty interesting. I mean, I have kind of, you know, I've taken it as a pet project to try to keep a record of these sightings. But they are just totally unexplained. But, you know, we really don't know what they are. You know, they could be a biotype craft.
Right. Well, that's what James Gilliland said to me, is that it's half biological, half living, half biological, half machine. That's how it traverses between planes of existence, which again sounds completely nutty until you've seen it. Now, I'm, as you and I are chatting, I'm going to actually send you over. I had a friend of ours, it's a graphic artist, create an image of what it was I saw in the sky.
Oh, cool.
And so I just sent it to you, and that is the exact position it was. I went back and I took a photograph at the Assetti Ranch, and it appeared between those tree banks that are there. So it fluttered out from behind it and swam across the sky like a manta ray and vanished.
Yeah.
I've got audio of the story that we can share with you at some point as well, but we did it as one of our Theater of the Mind episodes in the past. But it was, okay, half biological, half mechanical. It sounds absurd, but what I saw was absurd.
Yeah, and usually it's very near some type of water source, either be a lake or a stream, creek, or river. You know, I've had some sightings that have actually taken place in urban areas, but near streams or rivers. Totally unexplainable. I mean, but it's a phenomena that few people have actually written about or documented. But you know, I'm quite sure that there will be more sightings of it, but we just have no understanding of what it is.
Have there been any encounters with these winged creatures being aggressive towards the humans that are sighting them?
You know, I have had a few, but one in particular, and I mentioned it in the Mothman Dynasty book. There was a man and woman who had recently moved to Chicago. I think this happened in 2014 or 2015, and this was relayed to us by their son's friend, who was told the story, so it came secondhand. They wouldn't talk about it, but apparently they were living near Chicago, and they were driving home. They stopped at a light, and they noticed this huge winged humanoid in the air, and it actually tried to get into the car through the passenger side window. Apparently one of the claws got in there, so they took off and raced home. They thought they had lost this thing, but when they got out of the car at home, it suddenly attacked the woman and left a huge laceration on her back that required medical treatment. So that's probably the most aggressive, you know, being that report that I have heard. But they, you know, it was said to be definitely a humanoid of some type with wings. Overall, though, the reports that we have received over the past 3 or 4 years, it hasn't been a whole lot of aggression to it. They will make this screeching sound. They will open the wings up and kind of look menacing. But other than that, it just hasn't really become a real issue as far as encounter. I mean, you know, an aggressive encounter.
What about, this was a strange creature that had been brought to my attention. But speaking of winged creatures, what about bat squatch? You know, we've had fun talking about that in the past. But bat squatch, is this a creature you're familiar with? Where is it known to stalk primarily? And what sets it apart from all of the other cryptids that we've discussed?
Well, Linda Godfrey had actually written about this being, first of all, it was an encounter in I forget the town or what city it was in Wisconsin, but it was in southern Wisconsin, La Crosse, Wisconsin, right by the Mississippi River. And this being that kind of looked like an animal of some type, maybe a small like Sasquatch or small Bigfoot with wings. And she had written about it and documented it. We received a report from Woodstock, Illinois, of what the first witness described as a Sasquatch with wings. And when, you know, he was out driving to the drugstore, the witness, and he saw this thing crossing the road in front of him. And the first thing he thought was Bigfoot. He said, this thing did, it looked just like a Bigfoot, but it had wings. So, you know, I took the report. I talked to the guy by phone. I gave it to one of the investigators to follow up on. And, you know, he did send us a sketch of it. It's in the new book, but it did, you know, he did describe it as being a Bigfoot with wings. Well, we received another report from Woodstock of a gentleman who had actually had an encounter with this thing. And he reported it to the police. And Tobias Whalen, one of the investigators on our team, he got a copy. He got a FOIA request of the actual report. Now, the police officer did investigate. He didn't see it, but the description was basically a Bigfoot with wings. I got another sighting just outside of Woodstock of another similar being that crossed the road in front of a woman who was driving. So whatever this thing was or is, you know, it's hard to tell. But we did get a footprint in the snow that kind of looked like an extended Bigfoot, typical Bigfoot footprint, but it was kind of long and somewhat wide. I'd say maybe about 14, 15 inches in length, maybe 5 inches width. So, but, you know, it was in the snow. Of course, there was some distortion from maybe melting and such, but it was actually taken the day after the sighting. It was kind of unusual. So, you know, I don't know what people are seeing around Woodstock. Or have seen around Woodstock, but you know, that was the only report, like, you know, that we received that was like that.
Now, I grew up in the Chicagoland area, 22 miles west in a town called Medina. I remember in the 70s, my friend Rick's mom would talk about this large bird creature that was part of the legend and lore of that area, that it would swoop and take kids. And now I always kind of put it off as, you know, as I started to get older, that it might have fallen in the category of urban legend in order to try to control your kids so you're not out places you shouldn't be doing things you shouldn't do. But I remember her talking about this big bird creature even as far back as the 70s. Is there a pretty lengthy legend regarding these winged creatures in that Illinois area?
Yeah, there's a long tradition of the large birds, thunderbirds, and even pterosaur type birds or beings. It continues to this day. We have had some modern reports over the years. I documented some of those in the book. The pterosaur or pterodactyl type of beings. This has been going on in Illinois. Particularly northern Illinois for many, many years. You know, Seth Breedlove at Small Town Monsters recently did a film titled Terror in the Skies, and it documents a lot of the history behind these creatures.
Because that stands out to me still for being such a strange thing. And you'd think Illinois, I don't know, that just doesn't seem to me to be the hotbed of cryptid. You know, you think of Washington State, West Virginia, even Arkansas, Alabama, Florida, where there's swamp areas and heavily wooded areas, things like that. Illinois just does not seem to be atypical for this kind of phenomena. But there are a lot of Bigfoot sightings, a lot of these winged creature sightings, a lot of this that seems to be taking place. You know, something that I don't know that many people are even aware of, Lon, is the fact that when we're talking about what's going on, it wasn't that long ago. I think within the last 12 years that O'Hara was shut down because a large craft was seen hovering over it. And it made the news. It was actual mainstream news. So this, you know, the Illinois area is pretty rife with strange activity.
Yeah, you know, UFO activity in and around Chicago has been quite heavy for years. There has been a lot of UFO activity. Well, I guess all around the lake itself, but there's been a lot of reports coming around, coming from Chicago. And yeah, you're right. There was a large disc craft that was seen over O'Hara. It was said to basically punched itself through the clouds, where it left a hole through the clouds from where it went through. And apparently a lot of people saw this thing. I don't know how many actually reported it, but you know, that was in the news for a bit.
Right. Now, that was, to me, that was an alarming piece when something is big enough that it's closing down a major metropolitan area, airport like that. And I've never been able to understand how this didn't make a bigger splash worldwide, why it wasn't talked about more, but that a craft has been seen over there, that these winged creatures seem to be in and around that area.
Yeah.
It really seems like there is something centrally located. Do we know anything about the historic landscape of the property there? Did it have any ties to major? I know it's hard to say because the entire United States was Native American territory, but is there anything specific about that area that stands out to why something might be drawn there?
You know, this is something we've looked into. There's really no evidence as to a connection, you know, though many of the indigenous people had these type of creatures as part of their culture, in particular winged creatures. I don't know if it's really a connection, though. That, you know, are these things still sticking around? Are they coming, you know, are they coming through a portal? Maybe they did that at some point when these people populated the area. I don't know. I mean, it does seem interesting that all this has been going on in that general area, though, in the last couple of years.
Have you personally seen any evidence of these winged beings that really impresses you, aside from just the one-on-one talks and firsthand accounts from people? Has there been any evidence that you've seen?
Well, I had an encounter back in 1988 of a very similar being.
Yeah, please walk the audience through what that was.
Well, in the fall of 1988, I was actually living in Baltimore at that time, and I ran into a friend of mine, a school boyfriend, who was, you know, we had been in Boy Scouts together as kids. Now, he, at the time, was currently a scoutmaster, and he knew I had been looking into the paranormal for years. In fact, he and I used to spend time together on the Gettysburg battlefield at night. So, you know, he and I both had seen some strange things in the past. Well, anyway, he was telling me about this Boy Scout camp, Camp Conowago, which is really not that far from where I live now, near Gettysburg. And he said that this, you know, these troops would be out in the woods of this camp this campground, and they'd be run off because of this terrible screaming sound they were hearing. And they were starting to become very concerned by it, and they wanted to investigate it. Well, he asked me, he said, you know, would you mind coming up the next weekend? We're going to look around, and you know, maybe we, you know, you can help us find out, get some answers for us. And so, you know, sure. So that next weekend, I showed up the place, and we went into the area, into the woods where along the Conewaga Creek, where a lot of this had been going on. We set up camp, and that was on a Friday. We set up camp. That first night, very uneventful. We had three tents, though myself and another gentleman, there was three of us all together, did notice that something was walking or moving through the campsite at night. Now, neither one of us checked it out. We thought maybe one of us was, you know, relieving ourselves or going to the latrine or whatever. But, you know, we didn't really think about it. And, of course, the next morning when we woke up, there was nothing that was disturbed, so we didn't think much about it. So that day, we walked all through the woods and through the whole area. We were out about 6 hours, so we were out there a long time. We didn't really notice much of anything. You know, this is an area that's very, very heavily wooded, a lot of wildlife. And but, you know, we just didn't see anything unusual. So we got back to the campsite, I guess around 6 in the evening, sat there, cooked dinner, just sat around talking. Occasionally we'd get up, walk around, you know, if we heard something, but nothing unusual. So about 11 o'clock that night, we're sitting there talking about football. I think that's what we were talking about. And we heard this long sustained screaming sound coming from the woods. Now, I didn't really think about what it sounded like at the time because, you know, since there's a lot of wildlife there, you know, we thought maybe it could have been, you know, an animal screaming. But we sat there and talked about it. Then we heard it again. And this time, it definitely sounded like a child screaming. I mean, it was very loud. The distance wasn't really that far away. So, you know, we just sat there and listened to it, talked about it, walked around a bit, didn't see anything. So we were sitting around the campfire another hour or so, and I got up and walked around, and I just felt weird. I mean, like, you know, you get this feeling like something's watching you. And I had this real strange feeling. So I went back and told those guys, I said, look, let's grab flashlights and go up trail a bit. I just got this funny feeling. So, you know, they said they were grudgingly got up and we started walking up the trail. And we didn't get that far from the campsite. And we were walking along the creek, which was really shallow this time of the year. And suddenly we saw these two red eyes coming from the middle of the creek. And
So you're out there examining this, hearing these noises. You've heard the legends of what's been going on there. Now, Lon, you see these burning red eyes. What is that initial feeling for you?
Well, I was just shocked. I mean, you know, by the time we got the flashlights on this thing, we could see the silhouette of it standing in the creek. Now, the moonlight was pretty good that night, so we could definitely see a silhouette of it. It was dark. It was maybe about 5 to 6 foot in height. And this thing just literally shot straight up in the air with a whooshing sound. And a couple seconds later, we heard the screaming as it flew away. So we got back to the campsite and, you know, we were shook up. My friend wasn't talking at all. He was really, it really freaked him out. But we all agreed that there were definitely red eyes and that this thing has some type of structure on its back. Now, when it jettisoned into the air, we didn't see any wings come out. This thing self-propelled itself somehow. And but we were pretty sure that the structures on the back were wings. So both of those guys, they actually left the campsite and went up to the administration building and stayed the night. So I wanted to see what it was. I was hoping it'd come back. I'd get an eye, you know, get a look at it. But nothing else happened. Now, over the years, this thing has been seen.
Now, was this thing like a holy hell moment for you, though? I mean, obviously, yeah, you want to see it again. But, I mean, was there any fear in you regarding what this thing was and what you just encountered?
Oh, I was tentative. You know, I didn't really want to have a close encounter with it, but I was hoping I could see it. Maybe get a better idea of what it was. But, you know, the red eyes were definitely, you know, they were ingrained in my mind. I mean, I can never forget it. And, you know, as years went by, there had been other sightings along this creek in different areas. And in fact, I got an email from a scout leader who had been at the campsite about 20 years later, actually. And the kids in his group, his troop, had encountered something that they were calling a dragon. And they were shook up, but he thought they were playing around with him. But, you know, after he read what I had encountered, you know, he contacted me and to ask me if I thought that may be what it was. Of course, they said it was a dragon. I don't know what that was, but it was something that scared them. But over the years, I've received 5 decent reports of something very similar along the creek. So, you know, people around here call it old red eyes now. So, you know, I guess it's part of the legend of the area. But the really interesting part about it was that this being looked at almost exactly what people are seeing in Chicago. Body wise, dark red eyes for the most part, and wings. I didn't see any wing structure, you know, like being bat wings or whatever, but it did have wings.
Did, after that, I mean, how steady has that creature been seen or experienced in that area?
The last sighting was approximately 4 years ago. Now, the local newspaper did an investigation, I guess, about 5 or 6 years ago, and they talked to a lot of the people around the area, and some of the people did acknowledge that there has been this sighting of this red-eyed being, but none of them had actually seen it.
Well, I know we don't have a whole lot of time left together. As we're talking about winged cryptids, humanoids, monsters, and anomalous creatures casebook, the new book out by Lon Strickler. There's a link for it and a link to Lon's website on our program today. You can find that very easily. What are a few more of the most unusual encounters that you've collected for the new volume?
Well, you know, this is, I have had dragon sightings, which is something I think is pretty interesting. For several years, I was getting these huge flying dragon sightings in New Jersey, of all places. I mean, first thing people think is, well, it's a Jersey devil. Well, these things were huge. And I had 3 different sightings in the New Jersey area. One was actually down in the around the Pine Barrens, but then there were 2 others in mid New Jersey. you know, it's to the point where two of the witnesses actually saw or felt the air, the hot air coming off of this dragon as it passed by, as it flew over them, the downdraft, you know, which is pretty amazing. But I found these witnesses to be very credible. Then we had recently had some dragon sightings out in Central California as well. They're kind of unexplained, but the description that we did receive was of that of a dragon. I mean, you know, just like the medieval dragon you see, you know, in the movies. This thing was huge in size. And apparently, from what I have, discovered from other people who live in the area, that this isn't something that has just been going on. There's been, you know, calm legends or what of sightings, very similar sightings in Central California for many, many years.
We've got sightings that are picking up around the world of strange creatures. We've got more and more people coming forward claiming that UFO encounters and alien encounters are increasing. I know this is all speculative, Lon, and we've got to be careful on how we position some of these things, but do you believe there is some metaphysical wave or change that is taking place?
I think there's something going on. I can put it that way. You know, I think the veil is thinning. You know, as quantum computing becomes more of the norm, and I believe that will happen within the next decade, I think there may be the ability for us to see and understand these anomalies in the future. Now, you know, how that's going to come about, I really don't know. That's just a personal feeling. But it does seem that there have been many, many more unexplained sightings of these cryptid beings, unexplained creatures in recent years. And I do believe that's definitely going to continue. And, you know, who knows what we're going to encounter and run into in the future.
It'll be interesting during the lockdown, you know, the self-imposed isolation that's been going on. If they start reviewing footage and trail cams with humans less out, less in those kind of areas, I wonder if there's going to be a higher higher encounter rate. I don't want to use the word encounter because that makes it sound like you and I
right.
or something, but the trail cams and other things that are out there, if these species are going to feel more apt to come forward, like we're seeing in some of the different parts of the world with less pollution, less traffic, less things going on, we're getting clearer water, clearer sightings, less air pollution. Is this going to cause any of these creatures to become perhaps a little bit more bold because there's not as many people for them to fear? You know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out in many different aspects, but especially where it comes to zoological and cryptozoological beings.
I think it's very possible. You know, there have been reports of a lot of wildlife moving into the cities in the past few weeks. They've been captured on video and on security cams. Who knows? I mean, you know, there's less intrusion by humans, and maybe they will become more bold and open themselves up to being captured on some type of film and such. But, you know, also they might move into property, might make themselves more available for sightings by people who are actually at home. You know, I we have talked about this recently, and, you know, I think that's a distinct possibility.
Good catching up with you again, Lon. We do have a link up again, the book, Winged Cryptids, Humanoids, Monsters, and Anomalous Creatures case book. What's your next project? What are you hard at work on already?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I take it as it comes. You know, it seems like every time I get involved with a project, something else comes up and the other one has to go in the back burner. I'd like to do something about the upright canines, dog man, especially here in the Pennsylvania area. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see what comes up between now and then.
Has there been any chatting, fringe or otherwise, of a different type of cryptid that maybe isn't getting as much press or isn't being seen as much, but you're starting to see that, you know, hey, this seems to be going on. We might need to keep an eye on this.
Yeah, they're, like I said before, these upright canine phenomena, and they come in all shapes and sizes, really, and you know the characteristics are different. You know, a lot of people call them dog man or whatever. I you know, if they're up on two legs, I'm going to call an upright canine. But there have been a decent amount of weird sightings that we've been receiving throughout the state here in Pennsylvania in recent years. So who knows?
Aside from the Bigfoot, the canine flying creatures, is there anything new? Are you getting reports, or have there been reports of little people? And in the fairy realm, brownies, trolls, any other kind of strange fae characters, has there been any uptick in that?
You'll get one once in a while, not a whole lot. One phenomenon that has been coming forward in recently is this Glimmer Man effect. Just think of the Predator movies and the alien being that cloaks itself in this the glimmering type of cloaking,
like effect. Bending the light, right?
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of those, and it seems more and more people are encountering these Glimmer Men or Glimmer beings out in the woods, and a lot of hunters are having these encounters too. Is it a cloaked Bigfoot or a cloaked cryptid extraterrestrial? We don't know what it is, but there have been a large amount of sightings, and it seems to be increasing.
So keep us up to date, Lon, as more stories start to break. Let me know what's going on out there and what you're going to be getting into next. And thanks again for coming on and sharing a little time with our listeners.
I appreciate it, and you all take care.
Always great catching up with you. Lon Strickler, our guest. You can find a link to his website and to the book on today's program. We will be back again next week with more of the best in paranormal talk radio. Why? Because Tim and I really have nothing else to do. We really don't have lives, and this is what we do. This is our living. So tune in for more excitement right here on the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio.